Mike Pesca, tell the truth. When's the last time you wore a necktie?
Had to have been, I'm going through, maybe a wedding, or actually, I think since then I was on some community access TV show and I dressed up for it.
So it is not frequent.
Very infrequent.
Very infrequent. Yes. You are not alone. According to a recent Gallup poll, the number of men who wear ties has been rapidly declining, and the number of men who wore ties every day to work last year dropped to a record low of 6%. That's according to this poll. The disappearance of the tie is especially bad news for tie makers, who this week closed down their industry trade group, the Men's Dress Furnishing Association. So is all this just bluster about nothing, or are we really seeing the end of the necktie? Marty Staff is the CEO of the men's clothing company JA Apparel, which owns the Joseph Aboud label. He is a former member of the Time Maker trade group, and he comes into the studio, and if to punctuate the point, is not wearing a tie.
That's correct.
Have you seen, is this the end of the tie? Is this the end of the necktie? Are we making a storm in a tea kettle,
well,
or whatever that is?
10% of teapot is the idiom. Yes.
Well, no, I don't think so at all. We actually like the neckwear business, and my company has a big profitable business, which has really sustained itself. So we're pleased with that. But it is the end of the neckwear business as we've seen it for the last several decades.
How so?
Well, neckwear used to be really part of an obligatory uniform that men wore to the office as a matter of course. Over the last 10 years, America has become a much more casual workforce. And right now, 50% of American men rarely or never wear suits. So we've had a significant cultural change where men are just dressing down, and therefore ties become less important as part of a uniform than ever before.
Was there anything that happened culturally in society that triggered this kind of change, the shift to a more casual attitude in the workplace?
Yeah, I think when we look at guys 22 to 30 and we probe with them about how they dress, they recognize they need to wear a suit. They and in some cases it's empowering. They recognize they need to wear a shirt and a tie, but they don't want it to be they don't want to lose their ability to express themselves. So the necktie is just morphed into something different, where it becomes more of a fashion accessory, not unlike a scarf or a pocket square or an iPod case or than just a piece of silk or cotton around your neck as part of a uniform.
It used to be, I think, that there are certain industries where it's mandatory to wear a tie. Some of them still abide, like finance, high finance, probably a white shoe law firm. Are there fewer entire industries that are requiring the necktie? Is that the case?
Sure. I mean, that's widespread. You know, I also think that, you know, being rich used to be defined only as having lots of money. I think now it's being defined as having lots of time, mm-hmm. or also having the ability to dress as you choose. You know, I worked with Calvin Klein for 10 years, and he would come into a room and everyone would be dressed in suits and shirts and ties, and he would come in wearing khaki pants and a t-shirt, and he looked like, and in fact was, the most powerful guy in the room.
Yeah, it's like the guys who are really at the top don't carry a cell phone, because that would make them really accessible. And it's almost the same thing where if you don't have anything to prove, then you don't have to wear a necktie.
I agree. But having said that, you know, I'm not wearing a tie today, but I am wearing sunglasses around my neck, and I did have a great umbrella, and I do have a great watch.
You look very nice, by the way. Nice jacket.
Oh, thanks. But I would wear a tie if I thought it would enhance my outfit. So when you dress up and you wear a great navy suit, if you wear a great silk, you know, a woven file tie, it's cool and it makes you look better. But just wearing a day-to-day burgundy tie as part of some dopey outfit doesn't make you smarter or better or more powerful. Just has no reason.
So the obligatory tie is the tie that's taken it on the chin.
That's exactly right. What the way I relate it is, America's had this dynamic auto industry, which over the last couple of decades has lost its ability to provide cars that are stylish and correct for the marketplace. So they're now changing. That's what we've done in the neckwear industry. We love narrow ties. We love colorful ties. We love very dressy ties. All we don't like are boring ties.
Mm-hmm. So are more people using ties as an accessory? Like, are the ties getting really funky as a result of this?
they're getting to be like what pocket squares are. So we find at Joseph Abboud that men like to wear dress shirts in a sporty way and like to wear sport shirts in a dressy way. So a cool, narrow tie with a denim shirt or a chambray shirt looks hot. You know, the fact that a great company like J. Crew, which historically has been very casual, is introducing neckwear, but in a casual way, is very telling to me. Just neckwear will now exist in a different way than it did before.
More than other politicians, Barack Obama is showing up in places without a tie, with a jacket and the open collared shirt. Will he be a trendsetter like maybe Kennedy was?
Well, I'm glad you said that. It's been widely reported, and we know that Barack Obama is a fan of Joseph Abboud and wears our suits.
Really?
Oh,
wow. Is that true? 100%
true.
By the way, we own a factory in Massachusetts, and people like John Kerry and Barney Frank make regular visits to get our clothes there. They buy them, I might say. But I think that for Barack, wearing great suits with an open shirt is going right after this 22 to 30-year-old age group, which dresses the same way. It looks very modern, and it doesn't look casual. It just looks modern.
Yeah, you're right. I think a few years ago, if a politician tried that, he would turn off voters.
Uh-huh.
And now Barack Obama, you don't hear too much complaints about it. That young kid without the necktie. Anyway,
I got one more question for you. I'm going to ask you to stick around after the break. We're talking with Marty Staff. He's the CEO of the men's clothing company JA Apparel, which owns the label Joseph Abboud. You are listening to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. Come back. Hey there, welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We're online all the time at npr.org/Bryant Park. We are finishing our conversation with Marty Staff. He's the CEO of the men's clothing company JA Apparel, owns the Joseph Abboud label. He is a former member of the Tie Maker trade group that has shuttered its doors as of this week. Why? Because there are fewer men in America who are wearing neckties. We're talking to Marty about the consequences of that. And Mike asked you a question earlier. I want to repeat it. Are we seeing more ties in Europe than we are seeing in America? Is Europe still a place where men will sport a necktie?
Yep.
On almost any day?
Yep, absolutely. If you walk down the streets of Milan, you see men wonderfully dressed in neckwear. And in simple terms, it's because America has evolved into sort of a McDonald's theory of dressing. We'd rather get two cheap ones than one good one. And in Europe, men will wear a beautiful necktie over and over again, and it looks hot and it looks great, and it's very, very special. We just don't have that left here.
When you shutter a trade group, is there a lot of discussion? Is there a debate like, let's not give up on this, or do you just say we're wasting money and we're you know, rowing against the tide and it's not worth it at this point?
I think the decision was made for itself. I mean, the apparel business is sort of like a shark. If it doesn't swim forward, it sinks. So we have to constantly change. So in the neckwear business, those that are doing well, and again, my company's doing well, are the ones that adapt to the modern consumer. But I think that in any industry, there are people who just think it's the same as it was in 1985, and it's not.
Now, you mentioned that you have a factory for suits in Massachusetts. That the whole debate about the textile industry in the United States, and you keep hearing just there will no longer be a textile industry in the United States, and those jobs are going overseas, and that's just the way of the world. You find the opposite is true for you?
Yeah, for us, our factory is the best single thing we have in the company. We employ about 600 people. We make 250,000 suits a year in our factory, and we provide them to the best stores in America. We would rather make exact amounts for every store than go to places like China or Mexico, which are low labor markets, but where if you need 10, you have to make 100. So we cut to order, and it's a very special business.
So maybe the textile industry in the U.S., the future is it has to be high-end, and it's just we won't have a mass-market textile industry in the United States, perhaps.
Well, in terms of finished goods, I'm not sure why we do well and others don't, but I can say we have a stable workforce. They're Portuguese people in New Bedford, Massachusetts. The factory's been in existence for 50 years, and the quality of product has been so good and acknowledged by the better stores in such a complete way that for us it works. I think if you opened a factory tomorrow, it would be unlikely you could easily succeed because you'd really have a lot of ramp-up work to do, but we've been doing it for 50 years now.
We focused a lot of the conversation on the new casualness. It's been building for a long time in the American workforce. As a man who's devoted many decades to the world of fashion and men's fashion in particular, do you lament this change in American culture? Do you walk around the streets of New York and say, you people are a bunch of slobs. You need to straighten up, put on a necktie, tuck your shirt in, Mike Pesca?
Well, thank you for pointing out how old I am.
My father,
God bless him, when he was 50 years old, he perceived himself as an old man. I'm in my 50s, and I still think that I'm the Abercrombie model. So I think it's a change in America right now. So, you know, men of my age and younger just think much younger than ever before.
Well,
if you wore an eye patch,
you'd be the Arrow shirt model. That'd be cool.
Well, Arrow is a brand that's coming back, so, you know, that's not a bad thing. I mean, I will say I worked with Ralph Lauren for a long time, and Ralph is the king of neckwear. And in the late 60s, when he started, he did these very wide neckties that were very, very odd-looking at the time. If you go to stores now that carry Ralph Lauren products, they're very wide neckties, sort of reminiscent of the 60s, and they look great. So fashion comes and goes.
Indeed. And we will leave it at that. Marty Staff is the CEO of the men's clothing company J.A. Apparel, former member of the Tie Maker Trade Group.
And he's not in that trade group
anymore.
There is no trade group.
It has shuttered its doors this week. Marty, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, guys. This was fun for me.
Giving us a little tie insight. We're going to take a few minutes now and get the latest news headlines from the BPP's Mark Garrison.